finger right there. There's a button she has. And so anytime she goes to sing and she puts her finger there, it's a reset button. And I don't have one of those. I don't know. I need one of those. Hey, how do you get those installed? No, we don't know. Okay, never mind. Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16. When you get there, go ahead and stand with me. Mark chapter number 16. Got another message geared towards missions. It could be our focus for tonight. The title of tonight's message is Why Missions? Why Missions? Why do we put such a huge price on missions? Why do we put such a huge value on missions? Why is our missions program so important? And a lot of times, again, we do things many a times just by repetition. And we sometimes it's easy for us to lose sight of the importance of why we do the things that we do. And so that's what I kind of want to do, just hit a factory reset tonight and be able to remind ourselves why missions is so important. Again, I was fairly blown away this morning. Was not expecting such a large number of folks to say they've never been out of the country. It should not be surprising because the vast majority of Americans never leave America. But I was a little shocked. And so I usually anticipate a little bit more, have gone outside. But with that being stated, a lot of times we don't realize the way the rest of the world lives. We don't realize what the rest of the world does not have, comparatively speaking. And again, we often take for granted. I've been on several missions trips. Of course, we've been down to Mexico on those missions trips. And during those missions trips, we always, as young people, we were always asked there toward the end of it, what we miss the most from America. And we, of course, you're in a desert area. One of the kids said grass. And I said, I don't miss grass. You don't mow for this whole summer. You don't know what it is to miss grass. No, we don't miss grass. Huh? It's a bit of a blessing. You don't have to mow. But we went through the dust storms and we had dust in every little crack and crevice of the body. And we understand how that goes. But you begin to realize how the rest of the world lives. And they don't think twice about it. That's normal for them. We look at it as an inconvenience and a lack of commodities. For them, it's normal. And so we need to understand why missions is so important. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Why? Because every creature needs a preacher. Verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to truly understand why missions is so important. Lord, many times we take for granted the things that we have here in America. Many times we look at our missionaries and we read these prayer letters, and sometimes we can't even fathom what it's like to not have drinking water. We can't fathom what it's like not to have a Bible in our hands. Most of us, we had a Bible when we were born. It was placed in our hands. We had a Bible before we could read. Many of us, we have 2 or 3 or 17 of them just laying around in different locations throughout the house. I know I've got dozens in my office, just Bibles, and we often take for granted what we have. And God, I pray that you'd help us to truly have a burden for the lost and understand the importance of reaching the world with the gospel message. Use us, God, to show us some truths from your word tonight. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Again, the focus tonight is why missions? Why is missions so important? Why is our missions program the program that we pay the most attention to? Why is the missions conference here at Cornerstone Baptist Church the biggest event of our church every year? Why is missions in the forefront of everything that we do? Why do we run a bus ministry through town? Why do we focus not just on foreign missions but on local missions? Why are we so heavily focused on what we can do to reach others with the gospel? I'm going to give you a quote that I gave you this morning, and I got several other quotes we'll give throughout the message as well. But let me give you a series of quotes, and the first one I'm going to start off with one that we gave this morning. Oswald J. Smith said, if God wills the evangelization of the world and we refuse to support missions, then we are opposed to the will of God. I want you to understand that truth. That's why I use it this morning. That's why I'm using it tonight as well. We need to understand that truth. God's not willing that any should perish. The Bible says, but that all should come to repentance. And if we are refusing to get involved in God's program and the Great Commission and reaching the world with the gospel message, then we are opposing God Himself. Oswald J. Smith also said, we talk a lot of the second coming of Christ, but half the world has never heard of the first. Let these things sink in. Charles Spurgeon said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Why? Because our job is to spread the gospel. We're to spread the gospel. Either we are a missionary or we are just claiming the title of being a Christian and we're really just an imposter. A preacher by the name of P.F. Breezy said, we are debtors to every man to give him the gospel in the same measure in which we have received it. We are debtors to every man to give them the gospel in the same measure that we have received it. I've made that similar statement over and over again. Others have shared the gospel with us. The very least that we can do is share it and pay it forward with someone else. Henry Martin said, the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of missions. The nearer we get to Him, the more intensely missionary we become. As we grow closer to God and as we get more and more into the Word of God, let's not play on our phone, okay? As we get more and more into the Word of God, we get more focused on what God has left us here to do, and that is to reach the world with the gospel message. Cale Eder, another preacher, said, missions is the natural response to believing the gospel. Missions is the natural response to believing the gospel. John Wesley made this statement. He said, you have one business on earth, that is to save souls. That is to save souls. Pastor John Wilkerson, there at First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, I've been listening to some of his podcasts as of recent. He's been focusing heavily on missions. And one of the things that he says regularly is this phrase, and I love it. When we get interested in God's big world, then He'll get interested in our little world. If we get interested in the world that God has left us here on, and we get interested in God's agenda, then God will get interested in our agenda. And God will get interested in what we have to do. Now, let's focus on why missions ought to be a priority. Go to John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. Here we see the story. It's a very familiar one. We know it. It's the Samaritan woman there at the well. Jesus Christ was going from Judah to Galilee. And the Bible says that He left Judah to depart to Galilee. John chapter number 4, look at verse number 4. In verse number 3, He left Judah, departed to Galilee. The Bible says in verse number 4 though, and He must needs go through Samaria. I shared this message from this passage, I believe it was back in September, that here Jesus Christ was traveling from Judea to Galilee. If He would just simply travel from Judea to Galilee, it would have just simply been a 10-mile stretch from location to location in a straight shot. But most of the Jews, they would not travel through Samaria because they were racist by natural course. All right, the Samaritans were a mixed breed of Jews and Greeks or Gentiles. And so they would not travel through Samaria because they didn't want anything to do with them. They thought they were wretched people. They thought they were vile people. They thought they were second-class citizens. And so they would do everything in their power to go all the way around the city of Samaria or the state of Samaria in order to get to the next location. So when they would leave Judea, they would travel all the way around and circumnavigate every bit of Samaria in order to get to Galilee. And they would add multiple days worth of journeys to their trip just so they didn't have to go through Samaria. But the Bible says here in John 4:4, and He must needs go through Samaria. Jesus Christ did not bypass this small city. Why? Because He had a predestinated appointment with a young woman who was there at a well by herself because nobody else wanted to be there with her because she was a loose living and vile wretched woman. She did everything in her power to live the way that she wanted to. She did everything in her power to satisfy her flesh. And Jesus Christ had a meeting with her. And He knew by divine appointment that she was going to be there that day. And He went out of His way to make sure that He was going to be there as well. Why? Because He had a burden for the lost. Missions should be a priority, number one, because of the universal need of the population. Because of the universal need of the population. Here, there was a woman who needed the gospel message, and Jesus Christ did everything in His power to take it to her. Today, we live in a world where there are over 8 billion people in this world, or almost 8 billion people in this world. People are growing by leaps and bounds. But sadly, not only are people growing and births happening on a regular basis here in this world, deaths are happening every couple of seconds as well. Somebody sends off into eternity every couple of seconds. My wife and I went to the hospital just a little while ago, and Miss Sherry's daughter, Jasmine, just had a baby. And we went to go and visit her and prayed with her for a little bit and talked to her for a little bit. She's planning on being here at church on Sunday. Well, we talked to her a little bit about how her life has changed, and now she's got another one to live for. She can no longer live for self. And we all understand that, those of us that are parents, you understand that once you bring a child to this world, your whole world's been turned upside down. It's never going to be the same again. There is what? There is no quit. There is no snooze button with the child. Amen. Benadryl. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But here, there's almost 8 million people in the world. We got to see a baby that had just been born. I got a phone call during choir practice from Brother Miller, and he was sharing with me that somebody in his church had just passed away. So just within a couple of hours' time, we had talked to a family that just had a new baby. And then I'd gotten news on somebody that had just lost a family member. Now listen, there are deaths and there are births that are happening all the time. So there is a universal need of our population in this world today. We've got to get to them before they get out of here. We've got to share the gospel message with them before it's too late. I shared with you this morning that somewhere roughly around 4% of the world's population lives in America, which means that 96% of the world's population lives in the rest of the world. We know very little personally about the other 96%. They live outside of our borders. Understand tonight that there are over 195 nations in this world. 195 nations, and many of them have never had the gospel in their land. Many of them have never heard the gospel message. Many of them have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. We've got Brother Stacy Shiflett coming next year for our missions conference. I've been talking with him at length over the last several months. And he has an every nation project through his missions program. They're trying to put a missionary into every single nation in the world. He currently has missionaries in over 162 countries. That's a lot of missionaries. That's getting busy. That's a big missions program. Praise the Lord. Maybe one day we'll get there. Praise the Lord. That'll be exciting. But there's 195 nations. There is always more work that can be done. Understand tonight that most of the world needs clean water. Many in the world, they need regular meals. But everybody in the world needs the gospel. Everybody needs the gospel. Okay? We may understand that there are third world countries, yes, they don't have running water, and there are countries, yeah, where people go without food, but everybody has the same need, and that is Jesus Christ. They all need the gospel. There is a universal need of the population tonight. We must needs do our part. Just as Jesus Christ stated that He must needs go through Samaria. He had to meet this woman. He had a divine appointment. He had to go and share with her the gospel message that could change her life. And by the way, it did. It changed her life. And then it changed many of the men of the city's life. There was revival that had taken place there in the city of Samaria. Simply because Jesus Christ made it a point to go and tell one person. There's a universal need. And we're going to partner with some missionaries this week. Why? Because there's a universal need. Listen, these missionaries don't need us as much as we need them. Okay? We need to change our perspective. There's an elitist mentality that some churches have that, well, these missionaries, they need us. No, these missionaries don't need us. We need them. Why do we need them? Because they're going to a country that we can't go to right now. All right? I can't pack up my family and move to Greece. I can't pack up my family and move to Macedonia. I can't pack up my family and move to Israel. Why? Because God's called me here. This is where God has me. All right? And so I can't go to another location. But they can. God's called them there. We need them to go in our place. We need them to go in our proxy. We need to make sure that we support them so that they can get the work done. I was talking with Brother Shiflett again some time ago here, and he was sharing with me. He said, you know, I probably shouldn't have said these things, but I did anyway. Amen. He said, when we were taking on a new missionary, he said, we've kind of revitalized our mentality in the church. He said, we voted to take on as a missionary going to Uganda. And we voted to take him on. He said, right after we voted to take him on, he said, if you vote yes, say amen. He said, if you vote no, then you go. I was like, man, I like that. I might use that one day. Praise the Lord. That was good. He said, look, either we support him and he goes, or you pack your duds and you go. It's one or the other. And we need to get missionaries in those countries. We need to get the gospel message to those folks. And we've got to do our part. There is a universal need of the population for the gospel message. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 now. Not only is there a universal need of the population, but also here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, we're going to find the unmistakable necessity of the preacher. There's a universal need of the population, and they need the gospel message. But there's an unmistakable necessity of the preacher as well. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 16. Here, your Bible says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me. Why? If I preach not the gospel. He said, there is a necessity that's been laid upon me. God has put a burden in my heart. God has put a desire in my heart for me to go and to reach somebody with the gospel's message. And I have nothing to glory in of myself. I've got to preach the gospel to these people. They need to hear the love of Jesus Christ. There's a necessity. And notice what he says. He says, but woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The Bible also tells us in 1 Corinthians that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. It's hid to them that are lost. See, when we go around this world and we begin to hide the fact that we're a Christian and we begin to hide the gospel message, we're not hiding it for our benefit. We're hiding it for their loss. If our gospel's hid, it's hid to those that are lost. We've got to do our part at reaching others with the gospel message. There's an unmistakable necessity of the preacher. See, these missionaries that are coming here, there's a fire that's burning inside of their bones. These missionaries that are coming here, God has placed a special calling on their lives. And God has placed a special burden on their lives to go and to reach these people for the gospel's sake. See, sending medical teams to underprivileged countries, these are good things. Building homes in third world countries and these little humanitarian projects around the world, these are good things. Even sending food care packages to other countries and the necessities being met, these are good things. But if we don't send the gospel, then we've missed the point. If we don't send the gospel, we've missed the ball. We've missed the mark. We have got to get the gospel message to them. I'm all for helping them medically. I'm all for sending food baskets. I'm all for doing all these things. But we want to send the gospel message too. We want to make sure that we're getting involved with reaching them for the cause of Christ. See, many of us can't go, but we have missionaries that want to go. We have missionaries that want to go and reach these people. And if we can't go in person, we've got to go and send them in proxy. We've got to send somebody in our place. We're going to look at a few verses here. Go to Matthew chapter 3. We're going to skim through our Bible a little bit here. And I want you to notice specifically a theme that we're going to find. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 1. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 1. Here, John the Baptist, the Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here John the Baptist was doing everything that he could there in the wilderness, preaching the gospel message for Jesus Christ. Go with me to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8, verse number 1. If you can't keep up, we'll have it on the monitors there. Luke chapter 8, verse number 1. Luke 8:1, it says, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. This is Jesus Christ. He was going from city to city. What was he doing? He was preaching the gospel. He was showing the glad tidings. He was sharing with them the good news. Why? Because he needed to get the gospel message out. It wasn't a place that Jesus went to where he did not share the gospel message. He went from city to city preaching the gospel. Go with me to Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9, verse number 6. Notice what happened here. It says, and they departed and went through the towns. Not just the big cities, but they went to the small towns. What'd they do? Preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. There's a theme that we see. They're going from place to place. What are they doing? They're preaching the gospel message. Because the gospel needs to be preached. Go with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 15. Acts, chapter number 15. We're going to look at verse number 35. Acts, chapter 15, verse number 35. Notice what's happening here. The Bible says, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch. What did they do? Teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. With many others also. What were they doing? They were preaching the gospel message. They were teaching the word of God. They were taking the time to disciple God's people as they won them to Christ. You see, there's an unmistakable necessity of the preacher. The preacher has got to get out there and he's got to spread the good news. He's got to share the gospel. Again, there's a fire that burns deep within the heart. There's a passion for Christ and there's a passion for these souls. Understand today, missionaries, they need help. They need help. They need men on the field to help them. And when they win folks to Christ, they need to train a national to be able to take that church over. Why? So they can go to the next city and the next town and be able to train more for the cause of Christ. They need men. But also, missionaries, they need media. We use media around here. You know that? Tracts. That's called media. We upload our messages online. What is that? That's a form of media. What do? We use media. Why? To propagate the gospel, to propel the gospel message. Missionaries, they also need materials. They need the Word of God in their language. Well, one of the great missions projects around the world is the Beams Ministry. And they support getting Bibles, the Beams Bibles, to all these different missionaries in all these different countries. They need the book of John. They need the book of Romans. They need these materials. They need these different things to be able to build the church, to be able to build the work that God has called them to. But you know what all this takes? It all takes money. It all takes money. And we've got to do our part at sending the money to these missionaries. Why? So they can be able to do the work that God's called them to do. Understand today that we live in such a rich nation. Now, $1 or $2 or even at this point with inflation, $100 may not seem like much to you anymore. All right? But to a missionary, that is multiplied exponentially when they get to the field. And just a few dollars here in America can do wonderful things in other countries for the cause of Christ and for the glory of God. Just simply by the way our money is multiplied. You see, we give by faith what we can and what we've committed. And what does God do? God gives beyond our power. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. What did they do? They gave themselves first to God. And then what they do, they gave themselves over to others as well. And God was able to use them. Why? Because they were willing. They gave to their power. And what did God do? God gave beyond their power. He was able to multiply and able to bless it. Why is mission such a priority? Because of the universal need of the population, number one. Number two, because of the unmistakable necessity of the preacher. But number three, go back to Mark chapter 16 where we started. Why is missions such a priority? I believe number three, and honestly, this could have been all 3 points in reality, because of the unimaginable nature of the punishment. Because of the unimaginable nature of the punishment. If we don't get the gospel to them, they're damned already. That's what your Bible says. Notice what the Bible says. Mark 16, verse 15. He said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That means they're going to spend an eternity in hell. They're going to spend an eternity in a lake of fire being tormented because they didn't receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We've got to do our part at reaching the lost. There's an unimaginable nature of the punishment. See, listen, we don't see the reality of hell quite like we should as born-again believers. Understand, yes, we believe there's a heaven. And just as much as we preach on the fact that we're looking forward to the day that we're going to heaven, understand that Jesus Christ preached on hell twice as much as he did on heaven. Because there's a reality that those without Christ are going to die and go to hell. Those that don't hear and believe the gospel will die. They will spend an eternity in hell. There's a a Christian, I don't know if he was a preacher or not. His name is K.P. Yohanan. He said, believers who have the gospel keep mumbling it over and over to themselves. Meanwhile, millions who have never heard it one time fall into the flames of eternal hell without ever hearing salvation's story. I wonder how many people are going to be lined in hell that never got a chance to hear the gospel message. Now listen, I understand the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. And no man is without excuse according to Romans chapter number 1. I understand that. But I wonder how many people are going to be in hell because we didn't do our part. I wonder how many people are going to be in hell today because we did not support more missions. Because we did not support more missionaries. Listen, I want us to grow and be able to support at least 20 missionaries by the end of the year. But you know what? 20 is a base number. We should go far and above and beyond that. We should do more for the cause of Christ and expand our reach as far as possible. That's the eventual goal. Do as much as we can for the gospel's sake. Why? Because people are dying and going to hell. There are tons of emails that we get here through the church. And Brother Anthony can share testimony after testimony. You know, he knows of over 1,500 missionaries use your app. A little bit over 1,000. Developed a program to help missionaries be able to get to the field and be able to get there quicker. And it's been a huge help. But there are tons of missionaries that are still out there. They're still spending extra time here in the States, not able to get to the field. I've got a stack of prayer cards or packets on my desk right now. There's at least 6 or 7. They're church planners, they're missionaries, they're evangelists. People that need support, people that need help. I got a prayer letter yesterday in the mail of a young man who surrendered to go to the mission field. And God's called him to preach. He wants to spend the summer on the mission field helping a missionary out. There are people who want to go. They need somebody to send them. They need somebody to give. I read this quote and great conviction fell on me. Leonard Ravenhill said this. I want you to allow this to sink into your hearts. He said, Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in hell. And neither do most Christians. At least they're open and honest about it. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe there's a hell. But neither do most Christians. Because if we believed in hell like we say we do, it would change the way we lived our lives. It would change how often we shared the gospel message with others. You say, but I don't know what to say. You don't have to say anything. Just grab a handful of our tracts and stick them in an envelope and mail them to people for Christ's sake. Please. Let's get the gospel message out. Let's do our part at sharing the gospel with others. Carl Henry said the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. Missions is so important. Why? Because of the universal need of the population. Why? Because of the unmistakable necessity of the preacher. Why? Because of the unimaginable nature of the punishment. If they don't get the gospel, they're going to split hell wide open. And again, that last point could have been all 3 points in reality. On the reality of the fact that there is a hell. And if we don't get the gospel message to them, they're going to die and go there. We need to faithfully prepare and pray for this missions conference. Listen, we understand that Christ can come back at any moment. In reality, He can. Christ can come back tonight. He can come back tomorrow. He can come back at any moment. He can come back before I finish the message. He can come back during the missions conference. Christ can come back before these missionaries get to the field. We've got to do our part to get them there as quickly as possible. Why? Because we've been entrusted with the sacred gospel. And part of being stewards is being stewards not just of money, but of the gospel as well. And we've got to steward the gospel well, meaning we've got to get it out as quickly as we can and get it out as far as we can. We've got to tell others. What is amazing to me is everybody in the world has heard of Coca-Cola. Everybody in the world. Walmart is on every continent. Okay? There are brands that have made it their life's goal to get out their product as quickly and as far as the reaches can possibly go. But what about Christianity? We failed. We failed. And people are dying and going to hell, and their bloods are going to be on our hands because we've not gotten them the gospel. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. Missions is so important. Missions is our church's priority. If we don't get the gospel out to the lost, then we have failed. If it doesn't get there in time, it's not good news for them. It's, man, I wish we would have got it there sooner. I wonder how many people. I'm looking forward to getting to heaven and meeting the countless droves of people that have gotten saved because of giving to missions. I'm looking forward to meeting them. But there's also a reality that we're going to stand behind God at the great white throne judgment, and we're going to see countless people who never got the gospel because we didn't send a missionary to their country, because we didn't give, because we didn't make it a priority, because we didn't share the good news in time. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to pray for our missions program. Help us to pray for our missionaries. Help us, Lord, to send these missionaries. Help us to partner with these missionaries that are coming in, be able to take them on for support, be able to get them to the field as fast as they possibly can get there, to be able to do our part at reaching others with the gospel message. Use us, guide us. We'll praise you and thank you. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. As the pianist plays, you come. Are we doing our part? Are we sharing the gospel like we should? Others. Yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me.